Hello, everybody. We're all in this together. And to all of our folks from church, we just love you and we're missing you. And we'll get through this together with the Lord's help. But I wanted to make sure that we could keep some semblance of honoring the Lord and being able to be encouraged with a word from the Lord. So I'm recording this message, and we'll try to do it going forward until things get back to normal. The title of my message today is No Fear, from Hebrews 2:14. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. If any one line would characterize Jesus' desire for us, it would be, "Fear not." Many, many verses throughout the Bible assure us that these two words, listen closely. If love is the command and faith is the call, then fearlessness is the test. Well, Pastor Mike, how can you just say that? Is there a scripture verse for that? Why, yes. Yes, there is. 1 John 4:18 says, "There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear." Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. Because we're fallen people, often we're wise to not trust others, and I believe the Holy Spirit will give us discernment in whether to trust or not trust individuals with whom we have to do. But the more we trust the forever trustworthy Jesus, the more our hearts and minds are free to trust others until we learn through experience if they're worthy of our trust or not. When it comes to God, He and He alone is our object of complete trust. This is really the practical definition of faith. Do we trust God? This coronavirus is just our latest opportunity to exercise our faith and trust and live without fear. So let's explore this together this morning. Come on along. We have a binary choice. That means two choices in every anxious circumstance. Now look, it's only natural because we're creatures of nature that we exhibit certain emotions under certain situations. There's a pandemic. Ooh, I might die. There's no food. Ooh, I might die. I can't pay my bills and they'll come and put me out on the street. Ooh, I might die. Why, I could die and I might die. There's no sanitary wipes and I'm going to die. It's okay to have a momentary freak out, but yes, it is a lack of trust and not okay to remain in that place. Think of anything you need to live. And I'm not talking about your Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I'm talking about needs. God has preempted our concerns and our anxieties with His always available, encouraging word. Matthew 6:24 says, "You can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both." If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes on your back are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, and more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, even gotten taller so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, in God initiative, in God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Now, we either trust Jesus and trust what he said, or we don't. We either believe God's word and the word of God, or we don't. It's really that simple. The hard part is transferring those fears and concerns from our minds and emotions to the restful expectancy of God's trust, his timing, and provision. It's my contention that evil is making a stand in the world right now. Sin, rebellion, disease, and death are all marks of the work of the enemy in the world. And there are people fighting and praying and employing the full armor to combat evil. I'll tell you a truth, when evil is provoked or threatened, you can bet it will retaliate. I believe this is what we're seeing now. In all of this, we are not ignorant to it. The devil is not a creator. He's an evil plagiarizer. He has no new ideas. And so we can trust 2 Corinthians, what it says, the Apostle Paul speaking. After all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. As we bring it back down to our personal applications of all this, we must learn to trust the Holy Spirit and the Word more than our own fears. Honestly, from a natural human standpoint, our biggest fear is dying. And our text tells us the human race has been held hostage and manipulated by this fear that has been in the control of Satan from the beginning. But when Jesus stood up and faced death for us all through his own death and resurrection, when we received him as our Savior and accept his plan for our lives, we are set free from this fear and bondage. So let's be real. It takes time, maturity, and growth to truly learn how to rest in this wonderful realization. But we have to be about the work of it. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, when the saying will come true, death swallowed up by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and the law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, and death, are gone. The gift of our Master, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. There is no excuse to not turn away from our fear and anxiety and turn our hopeful trust to God. Here is an important consideration. God deserves all our devotion and love, not because of what He can do for us, but simply and solely because He is worthy. For no other reason than that. And this is why when we come to Him, we must come not by sight or sound or any other sense, but by the realization that He is God and He is worthy of all our praise from deep within our spirit to His spirit, and something wonderful happens. Romans 8:16 tells us, the Apostle Paul again, "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." You see, this Father of ours, who in His wisdom has revealed Himself to us by faith, could not show favoritism to His children in regard to sickness and death. If Christians never died in this life, and they were never ill, and were always healed, people would come to God because of what He could do for them, rather than the fact, an essential understanding, that He is eternally worthy and He deserves all glory for no other reason than this. Yes, in this life we might have loss. We might lose property and financial things. Yes, in this world we can get sick. And someday, yes, we're all going to die because nobody gets out of here alive. And we could die from COVID-19. Even if our faith is tested to the point of death, we have an example in the Word of God from one of the most tested and tried individuals in all history. In the depths of despair and extreme anguish, it was Job who declared by faith, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Job was declaring that even if God were to kill him or allow him to die, he would still trust and have faith in him, because even in death, God is faithful to keep His word regarding our eternal life. And if he were called to death, he knew that that death would be swallowed up in victory. I want to close by reading a portion of this chapter in Romans that we took a snippet from. In these present days, I think it will bless us all. Romans 8:12-39, it says, "Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father." That's translated Daddy, really, Daddy, Father. "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And we believers who groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies He has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already had something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, He called them to come to Him. And having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus has died for us and raised us to life for us, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the Scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think of this one little verse from the song that we sing, In Christ Alone. And it goes like this: no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to dying breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And no power of hell and no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here is in the power of Christ I'll stand. My beloved people, I just thank you for listening to me. I pray that you'll be safe. I pray that this present danger passes quickly. I pray that you reach out and love each other and encourage one another. And I pray that the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will have their hand upon you and bless you. I pray if you don't know the Lord Jesus that you'll find your way to him, because he's not very far from any one of us. He says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Cry out to him, and he'll help you in all your fears and struggles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to me, and love to y'all. Bye-bye.